Amen. Amen. That's loud right there, Scott. Let's turn me down a little bit. I'm going to sing this morning, God on the Mountain. And I ain't going to lie, when I was up here, I was just figuring out how I was going to start. I had done it for God that did it. So if I mess up, we're just going to stop and go right into the sermon. Because I know I got that one ready. It's kind of slow after doing that. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. I don't know what I was thinking. I should have done that one first, and then we're going to have a little talk with Jesus. Turn this to life is easy when you're up on that mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in that valley. Don't lose faith when, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on that mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. Now that's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, and the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. For the God of the day is still God in the night. Well, I chose that song. You can turn me up over here on this one now. Thank you. Play it again, Sam. Well, thank you. I got my tape coming out next week. Thank you. It's been 20 years since I did that. I told you that last story. It's been over 20 years since I actually sang with a group or did anything like that. So I get really nervous when I come up. And I don't know how you would think that, because I don't have no problem talking. But today, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 4. chapter 4, verse 30 through 32. And today, while you're turning to that, I want to tell you that we're going to talk about something today. And I'm going to turn this off while I'm doing it. But we're going to talk about something today that we all need to see or hear or whatever. And because it's coming up, it's springtime, it's really nice out there, it's time for some spring cleaning. It's time for some spring cleaning. And guess what? We got to get our house in order. We got to, because we're a child of God, so we're going to start with the dirtiest place we got. And that's our mouth. Woo! Woo! I tell you what now. Let's just recall some times we have in our life. This tongue we got just gets us in so much trouble. I tell you what now. Now listen, there was a couple of things here. It says, I hear dogs have clean tongues. I'm just going to take their word for it because I ain't kissing no dog. And I ain't eating after one either. I ain't going to take my vanilla ice cream cone and run up there and say, Bricks, come here and lick this, and then I'm going to take another licking after it. If you do that, you're nasty. Nasty. Listen, money, you know, you've always heard, don't put that money in your mouth. There ain't no telling where it's been. How many of us have handled our own money or handled money and forgotten to wash our hands before we eat something? I've done it several times. I didn't get this big banotti, and I'll tell you. So there's got to be a couple times I forgot to wash my hands. So our biggest thing is that we want to get that filth out. And here's the one I like, the 5-second rule. So you go really count to 5 seconds, let that thing waller across the ground or whatever, and it didn't hit 5 seconds, so you're going to put it in your mouth anyway. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The 5-second rule. Well, our tongue is the same way. Our tongue has so much dirt and filth on it and stuff, and even when we try to be our best, our mind might think a little different. You say, well, that didn't count. I didn't get it out. No, if you put it in there, it's just as bad. We're going to have fun today. I don't know if you heard. I don't know if anybody told you, but we're going to have fun today. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. Please stand as we read God's Word. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity today to hear your word. Lord, as we think about spring cleaning, we got one part that we need to start at first. And we're going to start there today. We're going to step on toes. I think I got a center block on mine already. But we're going to go through and explain what you mean by that. Lord, we're just so thankful for your word and in your name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Well, y'all going to think I'm crazy. Well, you might already think that. But listen now, I've had a lying, forked, slanderous, deceitful, mischievous, teasing, provoking, backstabbing, hurtful, cursing, destroying, hateful, torturous, misleading, and a foolish tongue. Now you wonder why I'm up here, right? Well, we've all had one. We've all had or done something that we're not proud of. You see, I can give you an example of every one of them. Yeah, I've told a lie to myself and I've told a lie to others. Oh, I'm doing good with my blood sugar. I don't need to take my shot. That's a lie. Checked that thing the other day. It was about 260 something. Danny said, how was your blood sugar? Oh, it was good. I think I got it under control. Sorry, Dana. Now I told you. I've come clean. We need to bridle our tongues. We're to clean it up. And this is the hardest thing for us to do. You see, faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. Do you see where faith ultimately comes from? That is God. God's word, the word that proceeded out of his mouth, which will never return void. And it will do what it is planned to do. It will do what he promised. Right. As we're standing on the promises of God.
Right.
See, once the word is out of our mouths, we can't take it back.
Right.
Once that word has gone out, we've already done damage to someone. Or we've done good for someone.
Right.
And with those words, we also have thoughts. Because of those thoughts, sometimes it gets us in trouble. My problem is that if I think it, sometimes it's coming out, and I got to be careful. Especially when you have customers come in the store and you know they're lying right to your face. Oh, customer's always right. I beg to differ. Any of you that have ever done retail before, you know what I'm talking about. But there's nothing wrong with being nice. There's nothing wrong with sharing to them. I ain't never got to tell them what I do for a living. I never got to tell them that God, who God is. But I hope that person can see them through me. Know that the spoken word is apparent to our thoughts. The thoughts are governors of our actions. And the actions are the producers of results. We must be ever vigilant over the words we speak.
Amen.
We must have a grip on them. We must not allow them to slip out, as we say. Understand that the development of Christian relationships is best served when we spread respect and carefully stand guard over the words we speak, because we're making God happy when we do those other things. And it's so easy. Husbands, has your wife ever come to you and said, does this dress make my butt big? You done a lie to her right there. I know there ain't no way in this world, y'all, we answering that one and getting away with it. No, it don't. That dress looks good, and I hadn't even looked at it not one time. Dana says, is my hair in the back fixed? I said, yeah, it looks good. It looks good. I checked it, ain't I? I checked it. We have to know assuredly of the word's unlimited creative power. We have to know what that word can do when we do it. Clean it up. Greg wouldn't do his, when he's painting something, he has to clean it up. He has to go through and sand it down, even put primer or something on there. He couldn't just go and put that coat of paint on there, or it ain't going to do no good to what he's doing, his little projects that he's doing, his little benches and stuff that I saw the other day. His new truck that he loves so dearly. You see, our words build up or tear down. Our words strengthen or weaken. And our words can free us or enslave us. But guess what? The choice is ours. You see, as we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, and we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us, it helps us to make the right decisions. The problem is, it's like growing up when your mom and daddy told you to do something. We don't always listen. We don't always want to hear what he's got to say. We don't always want to do that stuff. You see, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, Take thoughts captive before you speak. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see here, take every thought captive and weigh it out before we let it out.
comes in there and it's not the right thought, get rid of it. Devil, get behind me. Don't allow it to produce. Don't allow it to grow. If we water it, it will grow. And it's got to go somewhere. So guess where it goes? Then you got that little bubble like a little cartoon. And you got all them letters and characters and everything else because it shouldn't have been said. See, God's word is forever. Once ours is out, we cannot take it back. It falls on the ears of family, friends, neighbors, and those who are listening and watching you. You've heard the country song. It talks about the kid that is listening to his dad and how he's using curse words and stuff. But the little kid is hearing. Casting Crowns has a song out talking about how, you know, we should be careful of how we speak, because our kids hear and see what we're doing. It's amazing what James says about, like a tiny rudder on a ship, like a spark to set ablaze, it steers our life and sets fire to those around us. But it also could be a good use. We could sweep away that dirt. If you saw my picture there, and Seventh Choir might not have seen it, but I had a broom up there just to sweep it. Because we want to sweep away that dirt. We want to sweep away that filth. We want our light to shine through us. Amen. We want that light to shine so they see what God has done in our life. Amen. Your biggest influence is going to be you.
Yes.
With God in.
Amen.
Matthew 5:16. Talks about, let your light shine out of your mouth. Let your light so shine before men so they can see the good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, we need all to have a blessing tongue. A truthful, comforting, encouraging, exhorting, exalting, praising, joyful, guiding, leading, God honoring, Christ signed, sealed, and delivered with an approved tongue. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, speak with our minds on Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You see, put on the mind of Christ, because in believers it's already there. The Holy Spirit is already there.
Right.
We must use it.
Amen.
We must not allow the evil to come through. Oh, it's there. But the more we put in good, the bad will come out or leave us. We don't have to let it shine out. You see, use your mouth for praise. If you got to get out there and gossip about something, gossip about our church and tell them to come to church or to get into church or love the Lord your God with all your heart. There's many people in our lives that need to hear that today.
Amen.
There's many people in our lives, as the song says, that are down in the valley.
Right.
There are ways out. We don't have to stay there.
Right.
Oh, I'm doing good. Everything's fine. All my bills are paid. We're just doing great. Well, that's fine. You can still be in that valley when it comes to your relationship with God. Don't be scared. The truth hurts sometimes. Romans 15:5-7 says, be of one mind, Christ, and with our mouth glorify him. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be one of one mind, one mouth. Glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ has also received us to the glory of God. Psalms 139:1-4 talks about, well, actually 1 and 4. It talks about searching me and showing me how to get right. You see, we all got that question of, well, how are we going to get there? I got a problem. How are we going to get there? I need to redo some things. I need to do some spring cleaning on myself. How are we going to get there? Oh, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me into the way everlasting.
Yes.
You see, put off the bad and put on the good. Lead me in the way of righteousness for name's sake.
Yes.
For your name's sake. James 3 there talks about taming the tongue. We want to make sure that we have the wisdom from above in taming our tongue. We are not rashly and arrogantly to reprove one another, but rather to bridle the tongue, a little member of our body that can do so much damage here. Verse 9 says, but a powerful instrument of much good and great harm we see. But verse 13 says, but the truly wise are mild and peaceable without envy and strife.
Amen.
You see, we are able to tame our tongue.
Amen.
We are able to put that thing on lockdown, if you say. We are able, kids, to shut our mouth. Sorry, be quiet. Whatever, God has instilled that in us. Now the problem is that we don't always do that. We don't always want to do the right thing. We always have to give our 2 cents worth. You see, controlling the tongue, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Those who teach will be judged more strictly. It says those who teach will be judged more strictly, for in many things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So it's not talking about just the tongue here, not the mouth, but the whole body. You see, we all make mistakes. And if we control our tongues, we probably can control everything. It's one of the hardest things to control. James 3, verse 3 says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths and they obey us, and we turn about their whole body. On a horse, that's how you guide them, how you take them, how you direct them. Well, the Holy Spirit is our bridle today. The Holy Spirit is able to guide us and direct us. And God is using us if we allow Him.
Right.
Behold also the ships, which thou may be so great, are driven of fierce winds. Yet are they turned about a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. In other words, with that rudder, one rudder can turn the whole boat. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How does a forest fire start? Yes. By one little spark. By one little fire, if you will. One little matchlight. And it can do so many things. Think about that today. As our tongue is out there, and we can make many great speeches, we can cause great turmoil. Think about that match. That one little word or one little thing that we might say, how it could benefit or destroy. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth the fire, the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. I got ahead of myself here. A tiny spark does kindle a forest fire, or it could get us in a lot of trouble. So we use that example here. For every kind of beast, of birds, of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It says it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Again, with our tongue, we can shape a good life or we can destroy our Christian relationships. A serpent's tongue is forked. It has a split tongue. As I said, doth a fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Do I need to break that down for you? Basically, what I'm trying to tell you is that either you're going to be good or you're going to be bad. Either that tongue is going to broadcast things of good or things of bad. We have to be careful what we are doing and what we are speaking, because we want to let words appear out of our mouth. Wisdom comes from above. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. That's James 3:13. And if you're wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. Prove it by doing the right thing. Prove it by doing good works and humility. Doesn't matter who sees you. It doesn't matter what the cost is. Sometimes we just have to step out on faith and go after it. Sometimes we got to do more than what we say that we're going to do. Nothing wrong with having goals in life, but can't you surpass them? But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. See, if there is bitterness or selfish ambition in your hearts, do not cover up the truth with boasting about it. If you're lying about it, you're lying. If it ain't the truth, it's a lie. We have to remember what that damage is. We have to remember what that damage can do. It says the wisdom in verse 15 says, the wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Jealousy and selfish ambition are not of God's wisdom. These things are earthly, unspiritual, demonic.
That's right.
For where envy and strife is there confusion and every evil work.
Right.
You'll find disorder there. You'll find evil of every kind. But the wisdom 17 says, but the wisdom that is from the that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Heavenly wisdom is pure, as well as peaceful and gentle. You see, if we do it with a pure heart, most likely what comes out is going to be from a pure mind. Therefore, good. Our Lord doesn't want us to go around, and our God doesn't want us to go there and say bad things about people, say bad things about situations, be negative about things. There's so many times that we can just say, well, we'll work through it, we'll get done, or we'll just turn it over to God and we'll take care of it. Instead, we want to add all these adjectives. We want to describe it and tell a whole story about how bad it really is. Well, if that's all you got in your mind, then how do you have all that other place? How do you have good? How do you have space for the good to be there? And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace and of them that make peace. You see, peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. Reap righteousness.
Yes, amen.
The seed that we plant today will grow. How is it going to end up? Is it going to be fruitful and multiply or whatever it does? Is it going to be the supply that we want it to be? Or will it wither away? get destroyed by destroying others and destroying other things. You see, Philippians 2:11 says, "And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father." Amen. And I think the first part of that says, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, every knee shall bow,
right,
and every tongue, right, shall confess,
right,
that He is Lord.
Amen.
Let me tell you something today. We all got some cleaning to do. There ain't nobody perfect out there. There ain't nobody that does it all right. And if you say you do, you lie. We sin every day about something when we don't even want to.
That's right.
When we don't even think that we're doing it. Sometimes we do it. Let me tell you, others are better at this than, some are better at this than others. But not, do not let the filth come out of your mouth. Let the word of God share to others. Let your light shine through the tongue, the smallest part of our body there.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we just love you. We just thank you so much for all that you've done for us, Lord. I just pray for our tongue, because we could damage so many people in our mouths. Our tongue can do that. Lord, I just pray that you be with each and every one of us as we go along our week, our month, our year, our life. That we proclaim it for you, that we don't allow the devilish thoughts to come out, that we don't allow it to come out and hurt somebody, that we allow it to build somebody up, to help them, to love them and cherish them, like you have done for us. God, we just love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In your name we pray, amen.